more of a ride.
You're listening to Para X.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and tonight's guest are not necessarily those of this radio network, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Listener discretion is advised. Now lock your doors, open your minds, and prepare yourself to go
beyond the edge.
It's Sunday night. Time for the hottest alternative talk radio on the planet. Welcome to Beyond the Edge Radio. Two hours of fascinating guests, mind-blowing topics, and stimulating conversation. All here on your home for the best alternative talk radio. This is Beyond the Edge Radio. Nervous? Scared? Don't be afraid. The wait will be over soon. Sit down, strap in, and hold on tight. You're about to be taken beyond the edge.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Beyond the Edge Radio Live here on the Para X Radio Network. It's 8:02 on Sunday, March the 16th. And welcome to the show tonight. We've got a great show in store for everybody this evening. We've got the paranormal rock star joining us tonight from Ghost Hunters, Ghost Hunters International, Destination Truth. He's an author, a lecturer, motivational speaker, and the founder of Patch Ministries. Dustin Perry joins us tonight on the program. But before we get to Dustin on the show tonight, let's introduce our co-hosts and our color commentator and our paranormal news correspondent. Welcoming back to the show, as always, the one, the only, Lon Strickler. Good evening, Lon. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm hanging in here, my friend.
Good to hear. And, of course, the show would not be the show without our co-founder and color commentator, the Fork Chop. He's back in the house. Go, Forky. Woo, woo.
Why, thank you, Eric.
Raise the
and
roof.
Lon and Amy, good to be here tonight.
And, of course, the lovely and talented paranormal correspondent, paranormal news correspondent, joining us tonight on the show, because if it weren't for her, we would not have Dustin joining us tonight. So she insisted to be here. So welcome, Amy.
That's right. I forced my way in. Hey, everybody.
Welcome to the show, folks. Glad you're with us tonight. And as I said, we've got a humdinger of a program. Dustin Perry's going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour. We're going to be talking all things paranormal with him. We'll be talking a little bit about his Patch Ministries, his motivational speaking, and a whole lot more. So make sure you keep it right here. Before we get to Dustin, lots to talk about tonight. A lot going on this week. Of course, I just got back, walked in the door about half an hour ago from the Cabela's event. The Strange, Rare, and Unusual Sightings Weekend in Cabela's in Wheeling, West Virginia, where the featured speakers were Steve the Sasquatch Detective Calls and Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum, along with other speakers such as Billy Willard. You had Stan Gordon, Doug Waller, and yours truly speaking there this weekend. A lot of folks showed up. Unfortunately, the attendance wasn't what we were hoping for. But we did have a lot of people show up for the event, and it was great to see the old gang, the old crew back together, and we were just missing Lon, Sean, and Amy this weekend.
Okay. Well, I know I was busy. I was doing a lot of other stuff. But
Corporate slave.
Yeah, you are. So we have excuses.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Really helped me out there. Appreciate it. I do have to say a quick thank you to the folks, the kind folks who stopped by my booth this weekend just to say hello, come out and meet me and say how much they love hearing all of us on BTE Radio, how much they enjoy the show. And one gentleman even drove 3 hours to come up all the way to Wheeling just to say hello and tell me how much he liked the show. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you know, I had a few friends on Facebook, you know, tell me they were there, they met you. And, you know, they enjoyed it. They got to talk to a few people that they were, you know, that they wanted to talk to, Stan, a few other people. So, yeah, I mean, there were some people I know of that that really did enjoy the event.
Yeah, a lot of people seemed to enjoy themselves. And some of the vendors that were there, of course, our good friends, the Seaches, Brian and Terry were there. Legend Hunters, Dave Rupert, Riven Cavallini, Carrie Rupert, her boys Jake and Isaac were there. Stan Smith was there. Fred Saluga was there, our good friend Fred. He was in the house raising Cain as always.
Hellraiser Fred.
Yes. Mark DeWirth and the OBO, the Ohio Bigfoot Organization, were there. Doug Waller's SOSBE members were there. A lot of people that you guys know, Dwayne Pintoff was there. Bruce Harrington, the creature seeker, was there, and he was eating steak all weekend. So it was a fun weekend. We had a lot of good laughs and a good time for everybody. So thanks for those.
I always love how the Ohio groups always sound like them. They've always got these long names for these Ohio groups.
Yeah, I can't even tell you what SOSBE stands for.
And then there's like the Ohio Bigfoot Hunters or something that comes out to like OBGYN or
yeah.
Something along those lines. I don't know.
But it was a fun weekend nonetheless, despite the fact that the acronym groups were in attendance. So
got a lot of them.
Yes, we do. Other news going on, our good friend Stan Gordon was on television this weekend. He made an appearance, as well as our good friend Robin Swope, the paranormal pastor. They were both on Monsters and Mysteries in America on the Destination America channel this week, talking about aliens and Bigfoot, UFOs and Bigfoot, and it was interesting. They talked about the Presque Isle case and one of the Fayette County cases from the 1970s. Did you guys happen to see that episode?
I didn't get a chance to see it. I am going to look at it tonight, though.
I don't watch TV. No, I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. I'm sorry. I'll catch up on it, though, and report back.
That's quite all right. That's quite
all right. Sorry, was I supposed to be listening right now?
Quit, put your picture down of Dustin and pay attention, young lady.
She's fired. She's fired. Cut her mic.
She's staring at those pictures lovingly with googly eyes.
I am.
This is a family-friendly show, folks.
It is.
All right. Well, it's a good thing that there's no cameras. That's all.
Easy, people.
Anyways, so Cabela's was a pretty decent weekend event, and the next one coming up is the Unexplained. It's taking place March 29th over at the Cambridge, Ohio Public Library. They're going to have speakers on ghosts and hauntings and cryptids and a special guest appearance by Linda Godfrey. She's going to be dropping by the library that weekend. So I finally get a chance to meet Linda. I'll be there in attendance. A lot of other people will be there. The Seaches, Fred Saluga, just to name a few. So it's free. If you're interested in finding out more information, you can go to the SOSBE Facebook page, and I can't give you the acronym and what it stands for. So you just have to type in SOSBE and hope you get the group on Facebook. But it should be a fun event. It's free next weekend, lasting all day on Saturday, March 29th. So make your plans now. Other than that, I've got nothing else.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we do got an event coming up here now, Eric, that I guess we can promote is the Phenomenology, the Phenomicon in Gettysburg, right? Coming up in April that some of us are going to be at.
Yeah, three-fourths of the BTE staff will be on hand at Phenomenology this year. Or
yep.
Phenomicon, as it's now called.
Phenomicon.
You can find out more by going to PhenomiconCentral.com. And I hear you singing the Muppet theme song, Sean.
That was Amy. She started
it. I started it.
Well,
get off my back, big guy. I'll walk.
That explains a lot. The only one not attending this year's Phenomicon is Lon Strickler, as I understand. Lon, you're not going to be there?
I might come up Saturday, but I'm debating. Depends what's going on.
Don't debate too much.
There you have it. So you can come out to Phenomicon and meet all of us from BTE Radio. We'll be there in some form or fashion and trying our best to entertain everybody and, well, you know, do what we
you
do.
You can hear me and Sean do that, Phenomicon. Do.
Phenomena.
The show's just gone to hell.
Eric's not impressed.
It's just gone to hell. It's a great event. This is the sixth one, sixth Phenomenology. And you can go to their website, PhenomiconCentral.com. Our guest tonight on the program, incidentally, is going to be appearing at Phenomicon this year, Dustin Perry, along with a plethora of other paranormal celebrities, guests, speakers. Check it out. They have a wonderful lineup of people showing up this year, from John Zaffis to Chip Coffey, Chris Deadman, Tim Shaw. There's going to be a lot of great people showing up this year, so make sure you make your plans now. Get your rooms reserved. Get your tickets. PhenomiconCentral.com.
It's a paranormal potpourri.
Okay.
You said keep it clean.
I didn't say anything.
Yes, you did.
I didn't say
a word. I've got text messages. The lawyer makes me keep them.
I'm sure he does. Another thing that we wanted to talk about was this interesting development going on with the Malaysian airline that mysteriously disappeared somewhere over Asia.
Yeah, over that's somewhere. Kind of a mystery.
Yeah. You
or
know,
under somewhere.
You know. The funny thing is, you know, of course, and we find, you know, this, that the conspiracy theorists are starting, they're starting in on this this incident.
They are.
Well, you know, with some of those, though, even though they're conspiracy theories, Lon, they're some of them could be legitimate. Others,
oh yeah, oh sure,
just
they could be
wonky.
Legitimate. But you know, the thing is, you know, you remember that flight that came out of that French flight. Air France flight that came out of Brazil back in 2008. And, you know, it took them 3 years to find the box of that, you know, the black boxes. So, but, you know, you didn't hear the hoopla about alien abduction and other stuff, and you know, during that thing. But for whatever reason, this incident is getting a whole bunch of crazy theories with it. And, You know, at this point, I think the conspiracy theories kind of muddy up the investigation. So, you know, I always say, you know, there's going to be plenty of time for speculation later. So,
hey, one MUFON state investigator, claims the ship was abducted.
Well, you know, that's what happens when you take the money where your mouth is.
Well,
oops,
you know,
I'm sorry.
This particular, well, I just put it out there. John Ventry, state director of Pennsylvania MUFON, and he put a statement out. Oh, and you can find John on Hangar One on the History Channel every week. Anyway,
hey, I was charging for that. Thanks, Lon. Shameless plug.
Okay. really? Anyway, but you know, he put a statement out. Earlier, I think it was Wednesday, put it out, and I had actually started posting it already, and I think a few other had as well. Well, when I post something, it goes into syndication right away, and you know, I can't get rid of it. You know, I can change it for the newsletter, but I can't change it for the syndication. So I get another email about a half an hour later with an entirely different statement, and then there's a little blurb in there from the international director Harzan, who stated that we have not received any UFO reports from that region during the time of the flight or around the time period where it may have crashed. Historically, there are very few UFO cases where an airplane is involved and then it just disappears. Now, this is just right after. Mr. Ventry sends these examples of possible alien abductions of aircraft. Yeah, so, anyway, John sent this new statement over, and, you know, I told John, I said, you know, look, this, you know, when I post it, it goes out. And he said, well, headquarters told me to change it. So then I knew what happened. So...
Oops.
Anyway, but I, you know, I didn't put it out there, you know, for a lot of consumption, but Rob McConnell put it out there, and then it got picked up on CNN and the Huffington Post, and all I can say is probably been a bad week for John.
My old friend Rob McConnell from the X-Zone radio program.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Well, I guess
so, you know, there you go. So, you know, it didn't, you know, the theory didn't pan out for John too well, but, you know, it's a theory. And I don't know what to say about it. You know, of course, a lot of us are thinking that, you know, well, maybe it did happen, but, you know.
I can tell you what I think about it. It's stupid. And, you know, at this early point when, you know, you have the families of these 200 people that can't be found, I don't think a damn bit of good comes out of such mindless, mind-numbing conjecture. What shred of evidence does he have? And it's just insulting. And you know what? I understand there's people out there with these opinions. And guys, you know I'm skeptical when it comes to this stuff. But God, give it a freaking week or more before you start coming out with this nonsense. And when you write something like that and it hits CNN on the main page where it gets confused with actual news for just a moment, that irritates me a little bit. That's just my two cents on it, though.
Well, you know, I got involved with, I am involved with some RV groups, and we got involved with another group later, and the other night we did about a half-hour RV of the situation, and I did post on the blog, but, you know, our determinations were that these, I don't know if you can't really just say it was the actual plane itself, maybe it was just debris, but it was something related to the flight, ended up about, oh, I don't know, maybe 500 or 600 nautical miles southeast of Vietnam, or you could say maybe 200 miles west of Brunei, and that's still part of Malaysia, the bigger part of the Big Island. So all four of us kind of got the same result. We're all within maybe a couple, you know, maybe 100, 150 miles of each other on this. So I don't know. I mean, you know, it's entirely different in the area where they're looking, but be quite honest, I think at this point they're looking about everywhere.
Well, it's massive. Yeah. They've got, you know, land, ship, and air is just all about search and rescue for this missing flight. And it's set, you know, I just hate these things. I love air travel, but this is one of those things that's always in your mind, at least in my mind when I get on a damn airplane, is please, Lord, let it land. And
yeah, but
this is why.
If you really think about it, how many hundreds of flights take air every day and how many actually crash?
That's true, but you know what? I say the same thing when I get in my car every day, too. Man, let's just get to where I need to go. Let's make sure this trip gets done safely.
Maybe if you put that open beer can down, you know.
Easy.
That bottle of scotch.
I'm already going to have a problem with some lawyers here in a little bit.
I'm sure.
Somebody got famous psychic Uri Geller involved with this thing, and he's saying...
Is he bending spoons?
Well, yeah, the guy bends the spoons. He's saying that he thought it was either a hijack or it was something to do with piracy, I think. So, I don't know. I mean, I think when you read into it further, I think he's implicating maybe the pilots in this. But then again, I think United States, people that are actually investigated for the United States, I guess they came up with that theory today or the day before anyway. I do know that the homes of these pilots were looked over by the Malaysian government yesterday. So, you know, they're looking in that direction. Well, but then again, they're looking in every direction. This is the craziest, you know, this has got to be the craziest thing. I don't know how, the one thing I really don't understand is, you know, I know these countries and these areas don't have the technology that we have as far as, you know, everyday flights and such, but, you know, you would think that they could spot a plane doing something out there or flying over a country, that you'd be able to pick it up and be able to say something, unless the thing is that they don't want to say something. I don't know. You know, it's just hard to explain. I mean, it's hard to understand to me.
Well, how long is the plane? What, it's like a 250-foot long?
It's
huge.
Yeah, it's a big plane.
It's a huge plane. I mean, that's not something tiny. I mean, I guess the grand scheme of things, it's still small in the great scope of the planet. But it is a big aircraft. It's not tiny. It's not a commuter jet, I guess, is the point I'm trying to make.
It seats, what, 230-some, you said?
I want to say probably about 300. I think this flight had 200-some, but probably more along the line of 300 people.
Well, that's a big plane.
Yeah, it's huge.
So, I don't know. I mean, you would really think there'd be something there. I can't fathom what even happened. You know, other than what I've been hearing and, you know.
Well, until we find out what's going on, there's always going to be speculation. No one really knows, and you know, we could sit here all night long and try to speculate this or that, but until they find the plane or those passengers.
Or if.
If, we'll never know. just never know.
Well, if the plane shows up in Northumberland, then I'm really going to be weirded out.
The plane shows up in Northumberland, I move.
Call Fred.
It shows up in Northumberland on the Montour Ridge. I'm going to really be flipped out.
Shit's got real. Call Fred.
Anyway, I don't know. This whole week with this thing, I can't even think about what they're thinking about. I mean, I know they got to really be upset, but you know, the type of information, what are they getting? I mean, what are they telling these people? Because I can see from the meeting yesterday that they were really going at it with the officials. But, you know, I couldn't even imagine what they're going through.
Yeah, I have to agree. It's just got to be very hard for the families and the friends. And even the officials who are trying to locate this plane, it's very probably has to be very, very difficult and frustrating at this point. So,
well, you know, and the thing is, the longer it goes on, the more theories are going to come out there. And I don't know. I'm just honestly, I'm not looking forward to some of this stuff. But, you know, I got to report on it. So,
well, I hope they find him soon. So we
people can
all rest.
Me too.
Some other interesting news that is coming out, or I'm sure you guys have seen, is this new cryptid show on, I believe it's the A&E channel or the Discovery Channel, one of those two channels.
Which one's that?
It's the cryptid show about the swamp monsters and whatnot.
Oh, History Channel.
It's the History Channel.
The Swamp Beast or whatever it's called.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I watched 15 minutes of it and... I'll be honest with you, I was impressed, so I haven't seen any more beyond
that. Wait, what's the name of the show? The Cryptid Show?
Like Cryptid Files or something to that extent?
Cryptid Swamp Beast, whatever.
Cryptid the Swamp Beast or something along those lines.
It's been out a couple weeks now. I watched the first show, and I just wasn't impressed, so I just didn't bother watching it anymore.
To be honest with you, I haven't watched a single episode of it.
Yeah.
Me either.
Well, you know, and unfortunately, it's getting like this. You know, I even used to watch, you know, Finding Bigfoot, but I didn't watch the last season, and just some of this stuff is just, you know, this stuff is just, I just don't like the way a lot of these things are being presented. Though, and I'm not trying to sound biased, but I think Monsters and Mysteries is probably the best one.
I'm kidding you. I was all excited.
But I tell you, just by the way they go about things and the way it was presented to me compared to the way other shows have been presented to me, I got to give them a big thumbs up because they really did, you know, try to take care of us. So, but, you know, I like the final product. And, of course, they're not going to get everything right, but I think they did a pretty good job. And, you know, I've it seems Robin's been fine with what he's had come out so far, and
he's been on several times.
He's been on twice, yeah. I gotta see this new one. I haven't seen it, but I definitely gotta watch it. I got it taped, so recorded, so I'm gonna listen to it.
It was the recounting of the Presque Isle alien hominid case.
Oh yeah, is that what it was?
It was featured in the Project Blue Book. They investigated it.
You know, yeah.
Stan talked about the case. The lights came down and landed on the Presque Isle beach. I believe it was beach number 6.
Yeah.
And there were several people in the car that witnessed it. And then out of the woods came this hair-covered hominid-like creature. And I guess the police showed up and scared it off. And the Air Force was involved and investigated. And it's a very interesting case. And you can learn more about it on the show.
I've been having people ask me about the UFO Bigfoot connection, for examples. Well, that's one good example right there. That was a strange, really strange case, and there are a few more out there. Stan, you read Stan's books; he's got a few more. But that Presque Isle case is really odd. I need to do a write up on that one day. Oh, I do want to
mention. Oh, I'll go up with you.
Yeah, okay.
All right, good.
I had to mention this. We had Ben Hansen on the show about 2 years ago following the David Eckhart presentation, the alien abduction presentation. Well, David sent me a DVD this week or last week with Ben Hansen's presentation at the 2012 UFO conference. And I didn't know that he had mentioned the case at the conference, but he really did go into detail the case. And what I'm going to be trying to do is get permission to take some of that audio out or video out and, use it for the blog and then write another story about the case with some undisclosed information that we've been holding back on. So, because it kind of ties in with this. But, you know, if anybody remembers the show, it was a Factor Fake or the Paranormal Files Factor Fake.
Yep.
That was a good show.
Yeah, it was they couldn't really determine what was going on at the Eckhart place. But Hansen has said, and he even said on our show, that when we interviewed him, that he thought David and his wife were telling the truth. And they couldn't find anything during any of the interview or any of the period of time they were with him where they thought they were hoaxing anything. And this presentation that he made back in 2012 is really interesting. So hopefully I can get that out and get it to people and let them listen to it, because it really does back up a lot of what I had reported earlier and what David had been telling me. Plus there are a few other wrinkles in this thing that may be a bit disturbing. You know, David's kind of been holding back on a lot of this and a lot of the things he has seen. And, that's all I'll say for now, but it's really out weird things, but, it kind of falls in line with a lot of things other people have been talking about as well. So I just wanted to put that out there.
All right. Well, we are almost at the bottom of the hour. We're going to make way for our guest joining us in just a few moments. Amy, you know Dustin fairly well. You're friends with him. I know you're pretty excited about tonight's show.
Yeah, I am pretty excited about tonight's show. If you don't follow him, he's just like a little ray of sunshine. And he's very knowledgeable, very spiritual. I like that he's very open. He doesn't press his views upon anybody. Just, I don't know, just all around good person.
Very cool. Well, our guest tonight on the show is none other than the one and only paranormal rock star. Thank you for correcting me on that, Amy. Dustin Perry is joining us tonight. He's a paranormal investigator and lecturer. He is a motivational speaker, founder of Patch Ministries, a former television personality who's appeared on Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International, also with a guest appearance on Destination Truth. He is a co-author who's written two books with Barry Fitzgerald, The Complete Approach, The Scientific and Metaphysical Guide to the Paranormal, and So My Home is Haunted, Now What?, which are both available for sale right now. After leaving television, Dustin founded the Patch Ministry Group, which is a faith-based outreach group. And you can check out Dustin's information, his bio, all that good stuff, by going to two websites, one of them being ParanormalRockstar.com and the other being DustinPerry.com. So we are quite excited tonight to welcome Dustin to the show, and he'll be joining us here in just a few minutes. Anything else, guys, before we head to the break?
Nope. I can't think of anything.
Sean?
Same here.
Amy?
I'm good.
Alrighty then. Well, let's head to our first break of the night and make way for Dustin Perry, who will be joining us. You're listening to BTE Radio Live here on the Para X Radio Network. We'll be back after the break with great talk radio right here on the Para X Radio Network.
Mama warned you there'd be shows like this. Beyond the Edge Radio. Beyond the Edge Radio.
Thank you.
talk radio on the planet.
Welcome back to tonight's program. This is BTE Radio Live here on the Para X Radio Network, 836 here on the East Coast, and we've got a great show in store tonight for everybody. Joining us on the line all the way from Northeastern United States, I believe Rhode Island area indeed.
Yes, sir.
He is. He's on the line with us. He is the paranormal rock star, the one and only Dustin Perry. Good evening, Dustin. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing awesome. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Doing actually very, very well. A little tired, a little worn down, but you know, I'm doing great, man. Welcome to the show. We are excited to have you with us tonight, and we've been waiting a long time to talk with you. So glad that you're with us. I do have to start off with our very first question. How did you meet Amy Perry?
Well, it was through great misfortune.
That's so weird. Amy,
me too.
No, Amy's great. I don't know, we've seen each other at events. I don't even know what the first one was. And the last one was probably Gettysburg, I think, last year, correct?
Yeah, I think so, besides Motivational in Newcastle, so.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I know you had me up there, but I think the last one's down there. So, yeah, it's cool. Amy's a sweetheart, and she's done a lot to help promote my work, and just a very, very kind-hearted soul. A little bit crazy, but I like a little bit crazy, so that's good.
Yeah, she is a little bit crazy. We found that out.
A little.
Too late.
Too late, yeah. Amy is our brand-new paranormal news correspondent. She joined the team about a month ago. And she's doing a great job helping fill in as a guest co-host as well. So we're excited to have Amy with us. And we have to say thank you to Amy for helping get you on the show with us, Dustin, because she put the good word into you, and you were kind enough to join us tonight on the program.
Yeah, my pleasure. But let's not thank you yet. This could all go pear-shaped. This might be a horrible interview and go like, damn it, Amy, you're out.
Did you hear that, Amy? Your job depends on this. So
uh-oh,
not
wow.
Suck.
So,
ooh,
Dustin,
where's my rolling rock?
Yeah, you might need it. So Dustin, tell me, how did you get involved in the paranormal research? You've been doing this for quite some time. What is it that what was the catalyst that started all this for you?
You know, I mean, as a kid, I always loved Halloween and stuff. I mean, I love Christmas. I'm a big, like, festive, just jubilant little fellow. I like using the word jubilant. Oh, my God, he's in a long time, so it was kind of fun. I love, like, the Christmas season. I love eggnog. I love pie. I love Christmas carols. But, man, Halloween is just awesome. Like, it's just, I don't know, it's so much fun. I like the spooky time of year. I love the old, like, ghost stories and tales like that. And I love the fall season up here in New England. Rhode Island's awesome. And I saw what we would classify today as a shadow figure when I was just around 9 years old, give or take a year. And it just, you know, as a kid, I was living in this little house in Providence. I saw it, and it freaked me out. And the whole, you know, area behind it was backlit. And I'm a logical fella, and I was just like, I don't know what this is. So I'm just going to cover our heads, say our prayers, and wait for this thing to go away. And live there another 9 years or so, and never saw it again. But it just kind of just put that in me. I was like, man, I really want to see what these things are and what's going on. And so I started just investigating local places and stuff when I was about 15. And, you know, here we are 21 years later, still doing it, still don't know what those shadow figure things up. They're awesome. And the field is something that I really love because to me it's a very spiritual thing. Like, I hate the term ghost. I hate the term ghost hunter. Like, I'm not hunting anything. Like, that's just ridiculous, you know. But, like, I'm just looking for stuff. I'm just trying to observe the spiritual realm that's around me. And I think we're very spiritual creatures. And I think it's kind of cool that I have touch with the other side and know that there's more to life than this and that there's going to be one hell of an after party. So it's kind of a nice thing to poke around with and see what's going to happen.
That's cool, man. I'm a big Halloween fan myself. I love the holiday. I celebrate it probably more than most do. I even get dressed up and decorate and go all out, and people kind of think I'm strange, but that's okay. It's okay to be strange. I'm also absolutely a big fan of the paranormal. I have been since I've been a child, so I can relate with you on that as well. Now I got to ask, you were a member of TAPS. Are you still currently a member of TAPS?
No, I left those guys. I think even before I was with GHI, I don't think I was still with TAPS. I was just kind of on the shows and stuff, but like, I mean, there was nothing really personal. It was just, I don't want to have my name attached to anybody else's group or anything because you can never control everybody and you don't know different variables that might come in or out. And I just wanted to be able to just kind of be my own entity. And, you know, I really stand for a lot of things, but You know, one of them is just honesty and integrity. And you never know if someone's going to come along and do something that's going to also besmirch your name because you're associated with them. So I just said, you know what, I'm going to go my own way and do my own thing. This isn't a comment about anybody that's with the team now or was with the team. It's just my own little cautionary measure, you know. And because I do a lot of ministry work, I do motivational work, and I love this field so much, and I can't stand when I see, you know, either television shows or even just local groups and stuff just such fakery and chicanery to try to get their names out there more. And it's just, to me, that's not what it's about. It's a great reality. The spiritual realm's an actual thing, and the contact you get with it sometimes isn't the most impressive stuff. But it's still, if you look at the grand scheme of things, and it's amazing when you guys know, you know, from your own investigations, 90% of the time, maybe even 95% of the time, you're just kind of waiting around for stuff to happen, and it doesn't always happen. But when it does, it's just amazing. That's what I liked about my work on GHI. I don't think that the GHI team ever had really the best evidence out there. But I think that we had some really great, honest stuff. You know, we had some great photos, some cool EVPs, and you know, maybe we don't have people getting thrown around or stuff like that, but it was all real, and it was a great opportunity, and so I was proud to be part of it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You had real stuff on that show. I mean, I always tell people, like, when they ask if, you know, oh, I want to go with you, you know, I want to see what it's like, and I'm like, well, be prepared to entertain yourself, because it's boring. I mean, really, 99% of the time, it's really boring. Yeah. You better have somebody fun in the group to keep you awake. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a pocket full of chocolate and a soft pillow for your backside because it's going to be a long night.
Yeah, exactly. Or somebody that giggles all the time. Remember yelling at me for giggling in Gettysburg?
Yes, it's tough to conduct investigations with such a happy little person.
That's why I leave her at home.
Oh, I'm much more fun Bigfoot hunting when I'm scared in the woods and I don't know what's around.
Dustin, what in the United States, with all your trips with TAPS and the Ghost Hunters show, is there a certain location that you favor more than any of the others that you really enjoyed investigating?
I'll tell you, you know, St. Augustine Lighthouse was one of my absolute favorites. That was a really, really cool location. First time that I'd seen a full body apparition like that, and so that always stuck with me. But then, you know, since I've left the program, I've gone back there to do event investigations and such, and we've seen dark shadows, and we've captured some really cool EVPs and stuff down there, so that's a cool place. And then I was at the American Legion Hall just outside of Philadelphia, just because that was one of the last television investigations I did, and we had shadow figure activity there, so it's kind of like a nice full circle kind of thing for me with what started me in this field, and then to kind of finish off TV with that was really cool.
I'd always like to travel to that lighthouse. I found it fascinating when they did the episode of Ghost Hunters there and caught what they caught on video, and some really fascinating evidence. And I know the place is haunted. I've read about it in multiple books and seen it on multiple shows. And I just would love the opportunity to go there. Unfortunately, it's a little far away from Pennsylvania, so I don't think I'll be getting there anytime soon. But overseas, same question. Is there a particular place overseas, one of the haunted castles or forests or locations that really thrilled you?
Yeah, I'll tell you, man, it was a blessing to be able to be on GHI just to travel and see all these crazy things and all these old castles and really just touch part of history. It was awesome. I always wanted to go to the real Dracula's castle as a kid. To be able to go out there and see that was just amazing. We didn't get any real good evidence when we were there, but it was just a great opportunity, you know. Castle Hoos out in the old Czech Republic was awesome. Great, great time out there. Lots of cool stuff. And then there was, what else did I like? There was a couple, man. Clark Air Force Base, that was a cool place, too, in the Philippines.
Nice. How is the paranormal or the afterlife accepted by the local cultures overseas versus how it's accepted here?
I'll say it's really different. What kind of spurned the idea for Barry and I, we put together our second book, which was called My Home is Haunted, Now What? And that dealt with the way different societies across the world looked at the paranormal and looked at these types of activities. And it's really interesting. You know, there's a lot of differences, but there's also a grand amount of commonalities. And the more you start to see that, the more impressive it really was. The reference for the human spirit and the struggle of life and the acceptance of the afterlife and faith. It's really, really cool. I think that the strangest response I think that we ever actually got was in France, which was, I was very surprised. And, you know, maybe it doesn't speak to everybody in the culture or the country, I'm sure, but our person that we had as our host there showing us around, our client on camera, they all were kind of like making fun of it. Like they just have no, they said that, you know, most people don't believe in that type of activity. They think the whole spirits and stuff, ghosts are nonsense. So, I was kind of surprised. I wasn't expecting that there, but, we just had a really good time there, so it was okay. But, yeah, it's very different.
Now, do you find in Europe they're a little bit more open to paranormal than here?
Yeah, I mean, especially like you got Ireland and stuff, Ireland, England, there's a lot of different things. I mean, Ireland, like they still like consult people about like where to build buildings and stuff for fear of interrupting the fey lines and these kind of things. So there's a lot of reverence for it there. And, you know, certain portions of Middle Eastern culture and some of the places that we've traveled were very in tune with it.
Yeah, I kind of like how you go with it, calling it spiritual, because sometimes paranormal can kind of make it sound a little kooky.
It sounds hokey. It sounds like it could be made up. Like when people say ghosts, like it just really makes me nauseous. Like, but it's okay.
Well, I was curious. I know Ireland has a lot of legends and lore, the leprechauns, for example, the little people, and there's so much history, rich, rich history. I'm sure that when a ghost hunter or, pardon the term, but an investigator comes in and wants to investigate a place, are you welcomed in with open arms, or they just kind of not talk about it?
I mean, Ireland in particular was very, very welcoming. They were really, really cool. I mean, all the places that had us there, you know, they were all contracted and stuff to have us there and filming and stuff. So it was very, very welcoming. But Ireland, I think, above every other country that I've been to, was probably the most, you know, easy to talk about this kind of stuff. Almost to the point where you wanted to stop talking about it and talk about other things. But, you know, it was really cool. Very, very nice, loving people. It's just beautiful. Love it out there.
Yeah. Dustin, was that where, now I'm probably going to mispronounce it, but was that where Lepp Castle was?
No, you're one of the few people that didn't mispronounce it. Yes, it was Lepp Castle. Usually people say Leap because that's how it's spelled, but yeah, that was in Ireland for sure. That was a really cool place.
Can you tell us a little bit about your experience there? Because I don't know if everyone listening knows what happened when you were there.
Yeah, sure. So basically we went there. This was still in the Ghost Hunters days. This was even before GHI. It's probably what started the whole idea to do the international show. And that we get out there and we had a great, great time. It was a cool place. And there's a point where Dave Tango and I were upstairs in their chapel area. And we were actually done investigating. The way they edit it and show it, it looks like I was walking toward the back of the castle and something like knocked me over, because I still had my point of view camera running, so they were able to edit and splice to that. But what happened was we were done investigating. Our camera guy didn't want to have to go back up there by himself later and get all the insert shots, so he asked us to wait for him. And so we were just hanging out there. We were just kind of talking to each other, and we're standing shoulder to shoulder, and Tango's on my right. And Dave says that he saw my feet actually come straight up off the ground before I get knocked backwards. It happened very, very quickly to me, so I didn't really notice any of that. I just noticed that I was suddenly on the ground, and the whole place is like has bales of hay all over it, littered with hay, except for where we were, which was all jagged rock. So it was not the best place to land. But it really kind of opened my eyes to the reality of this field and the capabilities that the spirits still have. So they take a much more respectful approach to the field and such now. And, you know, we investigated all night there again and the next day, and we never had anything else happen. So this was kind of a really cool experience, and what I'm thankful for, and definitely changed the way I look at a lot of things.
Yeah, I like that. Was there a little, like, were you guys being, like, a little aggressive in questioning or kind of, like, confrontational?
Yeah, back then it was probably a little more assertive with questioning and stuff. And I can tell everybody now, one of the things that really bothers me about the field is the amount of disrespect that goes on, not just between like the groups and the investigators, which is so much just nonsense and drama, it's sickening, but the spirits really aren't shown any type of reverence. It's just kind of, I don't know, you shouldn't be sitting around in the dark and cursing at things you can't see and insulting things and calling them names. Like, it's just, come on, man, that's nonsense. Like, if you're going to do this, do it for the right reasons and do it the right way. And I always tell people, I always use the analogy, like, listen, if you're going on a date with somebody for the first time, you're going to sit there and say horrible things about them to try to get them to react. Like, you want to try to find things out about them and things that are going to make them, you know, speak to you and things that are going to make them, you know, want to talk to you further. So if you're going to do anything good for this field and you want to try to further it and you want to try to get good evidence, I think taking a more cerebral approach and trying to find out, you know, if this supposed spirit is supposed to be there, what do they care about in life, what kind of things would kind of goad them to speak a little bit, but in a kind and in an intelligent way rather than just cursing and swearing.
What kind of cracks me up, it happens on TV, it happens with a lot of ghost groups, is it seems that they almost forget that they're talking to people who were alive at one time.
Yeah, you're spot on, man, absolutely. And that's what's really frustrating. I always tell people, like, listen, just because you can't see them doesn't mean that they're, you know, that they're any different from you and I were, you know, at least. You know, where they are now, they probably could care less about half the crap we have to deal with. But when they were here, they had to go through the same human struggles and hurdles that we do. You know, there were bills to pay, there were horrible jobs to do, there was love loss, there was breakups, there was just daily nonsense. So, like, just show some respect, you know?
Yeah, I've done a couple paranormal investigations. Cryptozoology is more my thing, but I do the paranormal investigations, and I've actually had the chance to investigate with Amy when we were in Gettysburg, across the street from me, as a matter of fact. And I walked around the house, and I listened to some of the investigators that were there, and they were asking the typical questions. Is there anybody here? Would you like to talk to us? Show a sign of your presence. And I'm walking around thinking, you know, if there were soldiers here who were alive once, why aren't you saying, hey, my name's Eric, how you doing? Are you able to talk to me? I'd really like the chance to talk with you, or even if you can maybe let me know that you're here so we can kind of try to have a conversation or something. But it's always these structured questions, it seems.
Yeah, no, it's so much. I'll tell you what I noticed. Is the first one, the do you know you're dead one. It's like, listen, you're not contacting Bruce Willis. This is the sixth sense. Just move on. It was one movie. It was one thing. It's not a reality. You know, it's like you get people that are, you know, want to whip out their crystals and move the spirits to the other side. I'm like, well, who the hell makes you the expert? How do you know how to do that? You know, and like, how do you know they need to go anywhere? I don't believe personally, you know, I don't know if it's a faith-based thing or what for me, but I don't believe that anything's really trapped. I think that heaven isn't too far away, regardless of what your religious beliefs may or may not be. And I think that a loving God, a loving creator would allow you to kind of look in on loved ones and that. But I think some of them maybe linger more than others, and other ones just kind of go off and do their thing. But I don't think anything is truly trapped, per se. I think a lot of them just kind of are hanging out and doing whatever they want to do and checking in who they want to check in on. Maybe there's some guilt or whatever and they don't want to leave yet, but I don't think anyone's trapped. And then you get, you know, these people with these horrible little stories that they concoct in their head, these investigators, what's the thing, like, were you in a lot of pain when you died? Was it horrible? Was it this and that? Like, my God, why couldn't it be like, hey, how's everything now? Like, do you hang out with God and eat pie? Like, just ask fun questions. It doesn't all have to be gloom and doom.
Yeah, like, what's John Lennon really like? Let's ask some real questions.
Right. Have you seen Elvis? What's he up to?
Thank you very much. I'm not a paranormal investigator by profession, or I don't get paid for it. I do it for fun, like all of us do. I don't do it as much as you guys do. I kind of do it more of a, you know, when I can kind of thing. But I've learned a lot over the years by watching other people, what they do, and it's almost like I've learned what not to do. You know, I walk around these houses, and I just see these people doing things. Knock that dish off the table. Move that chair. Why are they commanding these people to do things?
And horrible things. Break this. Do that. Why would you just act nice? I don't know. I have no idea. You want to break the dish? Break it yourself.
Well, if you think about it, unfortunately, people aren't very nice to living people they come in contact with on a daily basis, or at least patient. You know.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's gone awful out there. I mean, that's this whole campaign I'm on, this changing the world thing, has just come about because I really feel like we need to make a better world. And I feel like we're losing a lot of our humanity, and we're just the compassion and empathy is long since gone. And it's just, I really feel like there needs to be more. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's still some great people out there that feel the same way and are doing the best they can, but I feel like the once counterculture is taking over, and that it's just it's kind of in vogue to be a mean-spirited, negative person. And it's just so frustrating. It's like, why would you want to be like that? I don't get it. But just, I don't know. Maybe the lust of it is lost on me. Maybe I'm getting old. Who the hell knows? But I just don't understand why people want to just wear pajama pants, eat cheese noodles, and hate on everybody from, you know, the comfort of their computer. It's just nonsense.
I would have to agree with you on that one. And before we get into our next question, I just want to throw out that you are listening to the Para-X Radio Network. This is Beyond the Edge Radio, live every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time with your host, Eric Altman, your co-host, Lon Strickler, Sean the Fork Chop Forker, and your paranormal news correspondent, Amy Perry. Tonight's special guest on the show is Dustin Perry. He's appeared in Ghost Hunters, Ghost Hunters International. He has appeared on Destination Truth. He is an author of co-author of two books. And he is the founder of Patch Ministries and a motivational speaker. Now, you brought up a great point just before we're getting to the top of the hour here, Dustin. This world is pretty much turned to crap for a lot of people. And they're missing a lot of inspiration or motivation in their lives. And as I mentioned, you are a motivational speaker. You like to go out there and try to help people improve their lives and make their lives better. What got you into doing that?
No fair. That was my question.
Sorry, Amy.
You know, it's just one of those things that it came about quite, you know, by accident. I think it's always been in my nature to you know, try to do the right thing and try to help others out as much as I could. And then, you know, thanks to just a bunch of happy little accidents, I end up on TV and I end up with this platform where people are coming to me and asking me questions about this or that. And people started asking me personal questions, like relationship questions and how am I supposed to do this and that. And just because I think they saw that, you know, I mean, anybody follows me on Twitter, at Dustin Perry. It's a phenomenal feed. They see that I don't think I ever really mention paranormal stuff unless I'm prompted. As much as it's a part of, you know, who I am, something I enjoy, I try to put out a lot of positive and inspirational things and a lot of funny, just happy little nonsense, as I call it, just to try to help everybody through the little struggles of life and to see our commonalities, to entertain myself sometimes. But people started seeing this stuff and they started writing to me asking for advice, and it started happening more and more frequently. And then I started doing, you know, paranormal events, and people come up to my table, they come up to me after my lectures and tell me how much they enjoy when I speak about these kind of things more than even the paranormal stuff. So I decided to, you know, kind of go out there and take my my chances and just try to help out as many people as I can. And I started doing these lectures and everything, and it's been fantastic. It's really good too, because I started doing a little litmus test myself. Like when I go do these events, for the motivational ones, like I'm like, okay, well, who here hasn't seen me on Ghost Hunters, you know, because, and trust me, I'm very thankful for the fans and friends I've found, but there's some people that, God bless them, are going to, you know, love me no matter what I say, and I think that's really very sweet and endearing, but if I'm going to be making a difference, I need to appeal to people that don't know me from anything else either, and I'm already biased, you know, so, and there's been a good group of people, and those numbers are growing, which is awesome, and it seems that I just, you know, kind of resonate with people. I mean, I always tell everyone, listen, just because I was on TV doesn't mean any different than anybody else. Like, I'm still struggling to pay the mortgage. I'm still trying to get by. I'm still hustling. And I feel I'm just in love with life and just trying to find the beauty in every little thing and every little moment. And I want to try to help other people do the same.
I did hear you as a multiple-time guest with our good friend, mutual friend, the Reverend Tim Shaw, on the Black Cat
Indeed.
Lounge.
Actually, I talked to him today. We were texting, and he said to make sure I said hello to you, Falcon.
he sent me a little private note, and he said to tell you hello and that you owe him dinner.
Indeed. indeed. We enjoy a fine meal together, Mr. Schiller and I. So I think I'll be seeing him actually in Gettysburg in just a couple of weeks. So I'll have to make good on that for sure.
Yeah, Tim and I also met at Gettysburg a few years back, and we became very close friends. And he is a beautiful human being. I love him to death, like a big brother. And
indeed. He's like a great mix between Mr. Clean and Santa Claus. He's just amazing. A wonderful guy.
He's going to start sending me hate mail now. I hate you, Eric.
Well, I can't wait to meet him, too. He was just nice and said a nice thing to me on chat, so that was good.
He's beautiful. He's got such a... You know what I really like about him? His laugh. His laugh is so... For want of a better term, but perhaps there isn't one, it's damn jolly. It's like... It just really radiates, like, pure, like, joy.
It's infectious.
Amazing. And he's one of my favorite people. Indeed. Infectious. Infectious little laughter. He's a great guy. I really enjoy hanging out with him.
Lon, I believe you had a question from the chat room.
Yeah, Mobo asked a question. As a motivational speaker, what kind of advice would you give a person who seems to be under the unending string of negative stuff in their life?
Oh, that's a very common thing. Unfortunately, like I was saying, we live in a very negative time, and especially the way people use social media and stuff, you try to put something just nice out there, and people you've never heard of it just start sending you hate mail. And sometimes you even have family members, people that should be the people that have you back and you're showing you love and support. And sometimes that knife that they put in your back stabs deeper than anybody else. But I think what you need to do is realize that, sometimes you need to push away from these people. And if that means staying away from social media for a while or blocking certain contacts and stuff, then you do that. If that means limiting time with family members, you got to be there to love and support them. But when they start kind of raining in your parade, and I call them emotional vampires, they just suck your emotions out of you, you need to just set a time limit and be like, okay, that's it. In a very respectful and kind way, you find a nice way to kind of move yourself away from it. And I think the way to increase joy in your life is really start to look for little things, and a lot of times people have these wonderful, like, 5-year plans, 10-year plans, like, when I get there, I'm going to be happy. But listen, the journey sometimes is more beautiful than the goal, And I think that trying to find beauty and happiness in the little daily moments that we have, life is just a long series of moments. And I think the more we can look into these little things and appreciate them, you'd just be a lot happier, Like, I try to find the positive side of things. Like, trust me, I drive to work every day, and I'm sitting in traffic same time every day after I get out of the gym. And, I can get all aggravated with it and stuff. It sucks. I don't enjoy it that much, but I try to make different little playlists for myself, and I crank up my James Brown music. And if there's, if I'm going to be stuck for a while, I put the old truck in park, and I look at the clouds and make pictures of them. I wrote this when I was a young teenager in high school, but you need to find happiness in the little things that brought you joy as a child. And those things are still resonate true with you today. So there's a long answer to hopefully help somebody else out.
I think one of the things that kind of made me, of course, when I first walked in, and it was Sandusky, I think was the first time I ever saw you. Because mm-hmm. I remember my mom going, okay, breathe. Because I walked in, I knew you were going to be there. But as soon as I rounded the corner, I saw your hair. And I was like, it's Dustin. Because she was like, okay, shh. Breathe. but one of the things that made me really kind of connect with you, and I followed you a little bit on Facebook and Twitter, but you were very much like you were online in person. You're very approachable. One of the things that, and I really, I'm very nosy, so I watch everybody. So please don't think I just watch you, but I like to watch how people interact with one another.
No,
well, I maybe watched you a little more. But anyway, they had like cookies and snacks and stuff there. And I remember thinking it was so cool that you actually went up and helped a little boy pick different cookies that was a little shy. And you actually went to tables and sat and ate with people rather than staying at your table. And just letting people come up to you. You're very approachable. And that's one of the things. And the fact that you kind of act like a big kid, I think a lot of times adults lose that, and it makes you not fun. I mean, what's wrong with, you know, like you said, finding pictures in the clouds, or, you know, it's a really boring day, but, you know, the other day I got excited because there was a woolly caterpillar out and it shouldn't be out yet, you know, and I was trying to shoo him back into the dirt before the snow came. But of course I had to take an Instagram photo of him first, but it's dumb little stuff like that, that kind of, it might be the, you know, the worst day of my life. I might be, you know, ready to pull my hair out at work or whatever. But it's dumb little things like that that kind of make you go, you know what, it's not that bad.
No, that kind of stuff will save you. And thank you, by the way, for all your kind comments. And I appreciate your observations. And it's just, I don't know, I think a lot of people, for some reason, unfortunately, associate weakness with joy. You know, there seems to be this idea that you need to have this stone face on all the time and, you know, pop your chest out and cross your arms and, like, for what, you know? If people come up and if I see somebody at an event or something, I'd never make a big deal on myself. I'd always thought that was nonsense. But somebody's nice enough to come and spend money to come to some of these events and everything. And trust me, times are tough for pretty much everybody. I mean, no one's living, well, some people, I guess, are living quite high off the hog, but the rest of us beautiful bastards are just down here struggling and trying to find a little bit of joy, you know? And somebody can put some money out and they want to come to one of these events. If they come to my table, they're going to get a hug, whether they like it or not sometimes. But, like, I appreciate it. And I'm just one of those kind of people, you know?
Well, you know, that just, that was one of the things I think that made me follow you more. And that was, you know, what my big push was, you know, when I knew you were going to start doing, you wanted to do motivational speaking, that's where you're being pulled to. And I kept thinking, I know so many people that could benefit from you if they would just get past, you know, and I'll tell you, at my church, you actually were a tough sell. They're used to me being silly and going, oh, you got to see this guy. He's so cool. but nobody really knew you from Ghost Hunters there, which is kind of odd because it's a spiritual church, which you think, you know, I'm basically the only one that followed that show. And then it was kind of, there was unfortunately some of that, like, well, I don't want to be associated with that show. He's not here for that show. But what I loved was you resonated with so many people from all age groups. I mean, you had senior citizens, you had preteens there that were listening to you. So, I mean, just how you relate to everybody is remarkable.
Oh, thank you. I, you know, I'm still trying. It's been a tough transition, you know. I'm trying to do more motivational stuff. And, like, there's at first, like, the idea of, okay, do I need to cut off doing paranormal stuff completely? Because I really don't want to. Like, I mean, I'm still going to work in the field, so I should still be able to go to events and have fun with people. And sometimes I think that I need to be a little bit of a bright light. What can be some dark situations for people, so I like it. But at the same time, I need people to see this other side of me, and it's a little tough to get out there and, you know, to get these events going. But I've had some great people that have stood by me and helping book them for me and helping put things together. And then, you know, just like yourself, Amy, inviting me into the community and kind of selling me to some people. And I'll tell you, and, you know, this isn't nonsense, and it's, I'm not saying it just because it's me, but I've been very blessed to have heard very similar things from a variety of places I've spoken at. I've spoken at Catholic churches and Episcopalian churches, and I've spoken, you know, libraries and little hotel venues and such. And I just happen to have this ability, and I'm very thankful for it, to connect with a lot of people on different levels. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome. I like, really, there's few things I like more in this life than being up there in front of people and just speaking and just, I don't know, I don't even write out most of my stuff. Sometimes I have slides, sometimes I have pictures, sometimes I have nothing. And it's just fun for me. And I usually can't tell you what the heck I said, like, when I sit back down. But when I'm up there doing it, it just flows. And it just feels natural. It just feels right. And I just love doing it. And I'm hoping to do more and more. You know, last year I wanted to do 3 events for sure that were strictly motivational. And I did that. This year I'm really trying to push myself to get 10. We've already got a couple in the book. So that's good. And I'm just going to keep doing it. It's funny because, you know, I go do my paranormal lectures, and 9 times out of 10, they turn into motivational stuff anyway, because I can't separate one from the other. It's just so ingrained in me at this point. And people have come to ask for it, so it's pretty sweet.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to say, you kind of did intermix the two, but that's what makes it entertaining to me. That's, you know, I don't really go to those things to be schooled or lectured. You know, I like to have the interaction. I like to just find out what the person is like.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice. I mean, all these events and stuff are nice opportunities to kind of to meet people and chat with them and see what they're about. And it's just a lot of fun. I enjoy it. I like to go and meet people, and I like to meet the people that come to the events and the people that work in the events, and it's just always really cool.
If you'd like to call in and talk to Dustin Perry tonight, the phone lines are open, toll-free 1-877-677-2858. Again, toll-free 877-677-2858, or you can call our alternative number, 724-824-1494, 724-824-1494, to call in and talk to the paranormal rock star, Dustin Perry. He's joining us on the program tonight. We're having a great conversation. Right now we're talking about motivational speaking, picking yourself up off the ground, you know, thinking positive, living positive. I know Amy likes to live positive. She giggles all the time, so she keeps me quite amused. See, there you go. Perfect example.
Dustin, I gotta giggle.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Dustin, I gotta ask you, buddy. You said you've spoken for some different churches, and you've had 3 so far, and you're looking to do 10. Are there people out there that openly reach out to you because you've been on GHI and Ghost Hunters and want you to come in and talk, not necessarily about motivational speaking, but about the paranormal? Are there still people asking you to come in and speak about that subject?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit. I mean, my bookings are still probably 80% paranormal and 20% on the motivational front, but motivation stuff is new for me, putting that out there, so that's okay. But, it's amazing that I haven't been on TV, in 4 years, but people still are very kind, and they're still asking to come to these events and everything, and my schedule is always a little bit rough because I've got family things and I work a lot of jobs and everything, but I try to do as many of them as I can, and it's a great opportunity just to kind of network and chat with people. I mean, I was just out in California 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, doing the USF Hornet out there, and I mean, I don't get up to California very often, so it's really nice. There's a lot of new people. I get up to Michigan usually at least once or twice a year. I do events up there, and a lot of really awesome people up there, very supportive, a lot of good friends of mine up there, so I get asked back there a lot. And I'm going to be in Gettysburg again this year, and that was an incredible event. I still get a lot of paranormal bookings and stuff, and I'm not really sure why everybody keeps asking me back, but I'm really thankful for it. And I like to think that, there's something maybe a little unique about the way I handle these things. And there's one thing I can just guarantee anybody that books me for the event, no matter what kind of event it is, I'm going to give you 100%. I'm not going to show up, sit at my table, put my head down, and go home early. I try to give it my all, and I try to make sure that everybody's interaction is first rate, because I just think that, when I was a kid going to events, various things, meet football players and stuff, you always want that personal reaction, and you want to make a great time, especially if I see somebody that brings children and stuff. Like, I just want to make that the most incredible experience for them, because not that, I try to put myself out there as a role model, but some people will look at it that way, and I want to make sure that I'm making the best opportunity of it and the best impact that I can.
Very cool. We do have a phone call on the line. Jeremy from, I believe he's up in Vermont, is calling in. Good evening, Jeremy. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys and ladies. Hey, Dustin, I have a question for you directly about the paranormal. You had mentioned you saw a full-figured apparition. What exactly did you see, and did all your senses fire off when it happened to you? Because I know it did to me.
What was that last part of your question, Jeremy?
Did all your senses fire off when you had your full-figure apparition sighting? Because I know what happened to me when I saw one.
Yeah, man. I saw the full-body apparition in St. Augustine. It was a lady. She was standing in the top portion of the lighthouse, kind of pacing back and forth. I was there with Brian at the time. We were a couple levels down, but we could see her completely clearly. And I'll tell you what, man. I'd been looking for these kind of things for so many years, and I finally seen it. I just froze. I didn't even know what to do. I'm like, oh, okay, there it is. And I tell you, anytime I think about it closely, anytime I go back down there, obviously, it all still comes right back to life. I remember just that tingling, sensation, like goosebumps, head to toe kind of thing, and like your eyes just kind of widen, and you're like frozen in your tracks, like, oh my God, this thing's like right there, like this is all happening, this is real, and it's just it's amazing. So yeah, no, I'm right there with you, man. Everything. everything kind of comes to life. It's almost like in slow motion. You can't believe what you're witnessing, and it's such a great opportunity.
You know, that makes perfect sense, because when I saw what I saw, I wouldn't call it it was an apparition, but it wasn't any you could define. It was a human shape, but it was like a white haze. It was there
I saw something just like that in the Philippines, right? Absolutely. I know exactly what you mean.
It was only there for a couple seconds. I mean, it was gone. When I blinked, it was gone. But, I mean, I could feel my heartbeat in the back of my head. I've never felt that before. It was like a rush all at the same time. Like fear, misunderstanding, critical if it wasn't there, but it wasn't there to harm me. It was just odd. But I'll never forget that feeling.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, that was one of the things at Clark Air Force Base. That was something that our client actually had stated that he had seen. And it, Barry at the time. And we kept hearing these noises, and we started kind of pursuing them. And at the last second, I see this white, just like you said, it's kind of like a human shape, like the head, body, and limbs, but not really fully formed, and this whitish, wispy kind of movement to it. And then it just disappeared. Like, as I turned around the corner where the post was, it was gone. I was like, I thought for sure we were going to catch up to it. And then it just disappeared. And just like, wow, I can't believe it. I've never seen anything else like that. That was the only one I've seen that I would categorize as that whitish kind of figure. But it was really, really cool.
Well, Dustin, I love your work. I'm glad things are going good for you, but I'll let you guys go now.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jeremy. Hope you have a great night, man.
Thanks for calling in, Jeremy. Take care. Yeah. We've got some other questions from the chat room as well.
Yeah, Dustin, can you honestly say, or even if you, I don't even know if you want to give an answer to this, but was anything ever manufactured on Ghost Hunters?
This is what I always say to that question, man. That regardless of what program I've worked with and everything, I've always stood on my own for my evidence and, you know, for my credibility sake. I just say that anything I've ever captured and brought forward and said, hey, this is evidence that I found. This is something that I recorded. This is something I saw. I'll back that up 100%. And, you know, just anybody else's stuff, I just don't trust anybody that much fully to say that, okay, this definitely happened. But I've seen some stuff that I raise an eyebrow at, and like, really? Like, I don't buy that personally. It's just one of those things, you know. I try to tell everybody, just, you want to watch these shows for entertainment purposes? Awesome. You want to watch them for paranormal purposes? That's cool, too. But at the end of the day, no matter what aspect of life we're talking about, political, paranormal, religious, use your own best judgment. Use your own senses. Use your own mind. Don't let other people force feed you what you should believe or what you should think or what you should accept as truth in your life. And don't let anybody label you either. Those people are bullshit.
As far as apparitions, I've got another question. Do you think it's possible, though, that we don't see these apparitions with our eyes so much as some sort of mental imagery?
I don't know, man. I've heard some stuff about that. From my experience, the things I've seen, I feel like I've actually seen. Like, I don't feel like there was some type of mental impression or anything going on. I just don't think we're able to glimpse them for very long, you know. Some of the people I work with in the field over the years that I respect and that I think are of similar understanding that, you know, this other reality, this afterlife, isn't as far away from us physically as we believe. And sometimes we're able to glimpse these things for just a moment in time. And, you know, you hear things about time slips and all this other stuff. And I just, especially when you're with more than one person who's witnessing the same thing at the same time, I think that we are actually perceiving them, but we're just not able to perceive them for long. And I don't think we're supposed to have all the answers. So I think sometimes that's also why these things happen.
Okay, that's all I got right now.
Sweet.
Dustin, I got to tell you, I love your response about TV. And one of the things that kind of like blows my mind is that a lot of people don't get that it's TV. If you're really watching the real thing, how long are you going to stay tuned in? I mean, it has to be a little bit exciting. I mean, there's truth to a lot of it, but like people that think that that's like really how everything goes. It's just like mind-boggling to me that people honestly feel that way.
Yeah, and you know, people don't realize too. Some people do, but not everybody takes into account like the amount of time that we're actually filming these things, and like how long you're really there for. Like, I remember especially in the beginning, I get emails from people like, you guys were only there for like a half hour. We were there for like two nights. You want to watch it? You want to watch 2 days of investigation? Like, that's boring as hell. But you know, I was never, you know, to the credit of Pilgrim Films or everything, I was never asked to fake anything. I was never asked to make something happen or to say I saw something that I didn't see. No one ever did that. Nobody ever asked me to do that from a production standpoint or from the team standpoint. But, you know, I was told that I need to react more to things. But, like, you know, if you've done this for a while and you hear, like, a banging sound or something, unless it's something that's really substantial, it doesn't really freak you out that much. You know, it's like, oh, it could be anything. You know, you just start to write stuff off in your head. So, you know, I was told that I was a little too, like, relaxed when stuff would happen because, like, oh, it doesn't, not everything freaks me out. If something, like, pops out at me, then I get a little freaked out. But if I just hear what sounds like maybe somebody drops something, I'm not that excited.
I think maybe one of the things that people might be wondering in the chat room, and only if you feel like answering this, what kind of got you away from television?
Pretty much, I mean, first and foremost, it was just desire to be back home with my family. When we were doing GHI, we were gone 6 to 8 weeks at a time. So that was just a lot of road time. And then you'd be told that you're going to be home for 2 weeks, and then sometimes 3-4 days later, you get a phone call like, hey, we're going to leave in 2 days. It's like, oh, I just got here, you know? So there was a lot of that. You know, my daughter especially was young at the time. Not that she's not young now, but she was younger at the time, and it was just very, very difficult for me to be away from her and away from my wife. And so I kind of wanted to be home to be a dad, you know? And TV was a great opportunity. It was a heck of a lot of fun, but it was never going to replace those precious moments that I was going to have at home, especially watching my child grow. So that had to come to an end. And it was just, you know, everything I think kind of has its cycle. And for me, I was at the end of that cycle. And I've been offered various shows since then. I just really have no interest in doing anything else. But outside of making an appearance maybe here or there, this is my place. This is where I'm needed the most. And that's the way it is.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say you're huge on family. I love that too. I see all your little posts and father-daughter dances and little pictures that she makes you. So that's incredible. She's still little. She's so funny. I was thinking she was little then. She had to be a baby then.
Yeah, it goes by fast, but that's my best friend. That's, I love Saturday mornings. She's eating cereal and watching cartoons. Even though the cartoons aren't as awesome as they were when I was a kid, like, I still enjoy spending time with her. I like playing video games. I like coming home from work and just tackling her and giving her little kisses in the face and tickling her. Like, those are some awesome moments. It's just like, you can't put a price on that, you know, and trust me, reality TV didn't pay all that anyway. So I'm not going to sacrifice, you know, to just be on television and maybe get a free sandwich once in a while.
Well, yeah, but I was going to say, some of your tweets did land you a sweet gig. What was it, Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah, the good people at Dunkin' Donuts, God bless their souls. Yeah, I ended up on a Dunkin' Donuts commercial. It's airing nationally. I don't know when, but it's randomly. It's all over the place. But that this whole little thing, you can YouTube it. If you put in Dustin, my Dunkin' story, it comes up on YouTube. But I literally had locked myself out of my truck, which is not an uncommon occurrence for me. But I did it when I was stopping at Dunkin' in between my full-time job and my part-time job one day. Last year, and I just put it out there on Twitter, and it was one of those things too. It was like making the best of a bad situation. So I was like, here's what I did. I locked myself out of my truck, but I'm sitting in the back of my truck drinking my latte and smiling. You know, it's one of those things like, hey, you know, looking on the bright side of things. And it was cool too, because when they made the commercial, they captured that. You know, the voiceover was about, you know, kind of just life such a curveball, and you gotta make the best of it. So it was really, really sweet.
Yeah, that was a sweet one. And I got to tell you, I scared the crap out of somebody. You know what I do I do home health care. So, you know, they're kind of involved in everything about me, which is kind of cool. I school them in some things. but your commercial came on one time and she was in the middle of telling me something that I needed to do for her. And it was so funny because I was like, yeah, huh? Yeah. So anyway, and I was like, oh my God, it's Dustin screaming. Because she was like, it's who? She got real scared. And then she was like, oh my God, is that one of those ghost people? So I thought it was really cool, but I'm like, no, listen, he's really fun.
I actually know this guy.
Yeah, I'm like, he's so fun all the time, because that is one of the things I love about you. you know, no matter what, like you could have taken that and you locked your keys in the truck and it was just the rest of your day is shot. And sometimes right. when I listen to people that are like that, I'm thinking, wow, I really am going to head for the hills when something terrible happens to you. If this is going to be it for you, it's terrifying.
Right.
I thought she drove me crazy, Dustin. Good grief.
No. No.
I do ask him lots of questions. So you're he's a really good sport. I got to say that.
That he is. That he is. Folks, if you'd like to call in and talk with Dustin Perry, our guest tonight, the paranormal rock star, please feel free to do so by calling toll-free at 877-677-2858. Again, 877-677-2858. Or our alternative number, which is 724-824-1494, 724-824-1494. You're listening to Beyond the Edge Radio live here on the Para X Radio Network. We have a break coming up in just a few minutes, but before we jump into that break, Dustin, tell us about the books that you co-authored with Barry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, the old Irishman and I, we put out a book called The Complete Approach. That was the first book we wrote, and that blended the scientific approach to things with a metaphysical understanding and investigating. And we were really proud of it. I think we put a lot of good information. But we had two problems. One, they stem from the same issue, but the gentleman who did our publishing, he first off put out the editor's cut, so there were still final revisions to be made, so there's some editing notes and stuff that were in it. But then he also hijacked all the proceeds from it and then declared bankruptcy and took the rights along with him. So that was a donation that Barry and I made. But for those people that did get the book, I think there's a lot of great for it. it's also a very sought after collectible item in very small circles. So that's kind of cool. But we are talking about maybe trying to rework it and put it back out there. Just the old Irishman and I are half a world apart, but we stay in contact. We'd have to find some time to do it. He's been cranking out a bunch of other books anyway. But when you come to any events, I always have copies of the new book, which is My Home is Haunted, Now What? And like I said, that deals with paranormal understandings from the sociological aspect from across the globe. And we take a little bit like a personal story from each person we encountered while traveling, and we talk more about their beliefs and understandings as it relates to their culture. So that was cool. And I think that's also up at lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. You can pick them up there, too. So if you can't make it to an event, you can get it there. But they were really great to write, and I had a lot of fun. And it's interesting, too, because everyone says you can tell which portions he wrote, which portions I wrote, because just the difference in vernacular and everything due to where we live and the way we look at things. But he's like a brother to me. We have a lot of similar ideas, and we think over a lot of walks and stuff around the road and just take it all in about, you know, the sightseeing and talk about life and traveling. And that was one of the things that we were driving one night, and the sun was coming up after investigation. And I said to him, you know, Barry, I said, I've seen a lot of sunrises and sunsets with you, and I haven't seen any with my wife in some time. I said, I think I need to go home before our relationship changes.
Now that you're doing motivational lectures, have you thought about putting a book out about the subject?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. There's one that I've actually written that I need to I like to write everything kind of in you know, old school, like longhand. I like to write everything down and put it all together, like in a just regular journal notebook, and then typed up. So I need to work on typing this thing up because it's been sitting in my my bedside table for like a year and a half, 2 years. And that actually talks about my leaving television and looking to see what else I was going to do with my life. And do I want to produce a show? Do I want to do anything more? And but it's it's an autobiographical tale, but at the same time, it's an inspirational story of, you know, kind of moving yourself forward to do new things in your life and to push on and let the chips fall where they may. And it's not always going to work out the way you want it to, but in the end, they'll work out the way it's supposed to.
Excellent. Well, keep us posted on that. Let us know when that one comes out, and we'll make sure we get the word out there on the street for you and help you let everybody know it's out there, because it sounds like it's going to be a great book once you do decide to put it to pen to ink. Or to pen to paper, I should say.
Yeah, I just got to type it up. But I'm really hoping to do it by, I've got some motivational events coming up at the end of the summer and stuff up in Pittsburgh. So I'm really hoping to get it put together by then and put it out by then.
Fantastic.
Tickets available for Pittsburgh yet?
Oh, yeah. Pittsburgh just went on sale on Friday. That is one of my catchphrases, happy nonsense. You can get it at happynonsense.eventbrite.com. So yeah, happynonsense.eventbrite.com. That's going to be on August 30th in Pittsburgh. And so I'm going to be putting this on my website too, but follow me on Twitter or whatever you want. But yeah, happynonsense.eventbrite.com. It's cheap too. Like, I try to keep these things, you know, as low budget as I can, and the people I work with were, you know, really cool with that. So it's $35. You get an hour plus lecture because I always ramble a little bit long, and then you get to hang out and meet and greet and pictures or whatever the heck you want to do. I'm more than happy. But Pittsburgh's a great place, so I'm really looking forward to do that. But like I said, that's going to be on August 30th, so it should be sweet.
No,
I'll be right in the front.
I know Amy's excited now because I heard her going. We're both from the Pittsburgh area, by the way, so I'm going to try to make the trip down there to see you at that event. I know I'll definitely be seeing you in Gettysburg coming up at Phenomicon. We're both on the bill to lecture, so it's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
But
That's what, April like 10th, 11th, to the 13th or something. Yeah.
Yep. I'm going to be conducting a Bigfoot tour, so people that want to join
me
can come out in the woods, and I'll take them around one of the local areas up there near Gettysburg. But right now we got to take our last break of the show and step away for a few minutes. If you're listening to BTE Radio live here on the Para-X Radio Network, our guest tonight is the paranormal rock star himself, Dustin Perry. Make sure you keep it right here, folks. More great conversation continues right after the break.
You're not listening. You're just stupid.
Good evening. Welcome back to tonight's program. This is Beyond the Edge Radio, and we are live here on the Para-X Radio Network every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find our archive shows at beyondtheedgeradio.com. We're also on Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic, Blueberry Podcast, a whole bunch of places you can find us. If you like the show, check out our archives, and we've got about 7 years' worth of programming for you to listen to, and that's a lot to put you to sleep if you have insomnia. So check it out. I think you'll find that you enjoy it, and you keep coming back for more. We've had a lot of great guests over the years, a lot of fun people to talk to, a lot of interesting and entertaining people to talk to. Dustin, you've been a great guest tonight, and I've really enjoyed talking with you and learning more about your motivational speaking. We haven't had a guest on the program quite like you that's really put a positive message out there for everybody.
Well, thank you, man. I'm glad to be a part of it, you know, and it's just true to who I am. You know, I don't think I could be anybody else or doing any other message at this point in my life, at least. So I appreciate that. And hopefully you have some more in the future, you know. Maybe I'll start a trend.
Well, let's hope, because I think a lot more people, including myself, I'm guilty of it. We all need to hear some positive encouragement and stuff to help us lighten our lives. I know I caught you, as I mentioned earlier, on the Black Cat Lounge with our good friend Tim Shaw. And I wrote him a note. I sent him a note over a text message saying, man, what a great show. I really love to have Dustin on the program. And I know Amy is such a good friend of yours. So we kind of talked, and she kept saying, do you want Dustin on the show? I'm like, yeah, if he'll come on, I'd love to have him on. So we're glad that you're with us tonight. Now,
Thank you, man. Anytime in the future, let me know, man. It'd be my pleasure.
Well, we'd really appreciate that, and we'll definitely get you back on to talk with more with us. Now, I'd like to talk a little bit about Patch Ministries. This is an outreach group that you put together. Tell us about it, why you put it together, and what it's all about.
Yeah, man. Thank you. It's just me. It's not like a big organized thing. It's just I try to put some stuff out online. Once again, you know, I feel like a lot of internet stuff can be very dark and daunting for people. And for me, my faith, everything I understand comes from a Christian perspective. I was raised Roman Catholic, and I went through a wandering path where I walked away from it, and I started a lot of Eastern philosophy and stuff, and I saw a lot of value in a lot of different things that I've come across. But one of the things that always bothered me was all the judgment, all the rules and the hatred that comes along with a lot of things. And I felt that, you know, in life, we're all kind of beautifully broken. We're all just trying to struggle to keep things going through, just held together by hope and faith and duct tape. And it's just like the whole idea behind Patch Ministry started because people would write to me about faith-based questions because, you know, they see I work in the spiritual realm and how does that, you know, relate to being a Christian and these kind of things. And I was like, listen, we're all kind of in this together. Here's what I understand. And more people started asking more things. I was like, yeah, maybe I can start doing this too. I'm like a three-headed dragon out there, man. I'm doing paranormal stuff. I'm doing motivational stuff. And then I'm doing ministry stuff. My whole message is all of love and no judgment, but finding a relationship with God, which I think is key, and finding love with God, and finding that, you know, things are going to happen. They're going to make mistakes. You're not going to be perfect, but you're not expected to be perfect. It's the whole idea behind Patch Ministry is the fact that, you know, God is that patch for our imperfect life, and that's okay. And, you know, we struggle, and we want to do great things, and we fail more often than not. But like I tell everyone, listen, if you're looking at this life as a sprint, you're not going to do very well. But if you're looking at it as a marathon and you get some hurdles sometimes, you try to jump them, sometimes you do great. Other times you fall on your face, but you know what? You're still falling forward, and you're still going in the right direction. So sometimes, you know, you got to look at life as a game of inches, and little daily victories are okay, but knowing that God's not going to abandon you because you messed up, and that there's still love and there's still compassion and forgiveness is going to get you a lot further than some of these people that are out there, you know, beating their Bibles and telling other people they're going to hell because they did this or that. It's like, listen, a little less judgment, a little more understanding, a little more compassion, and we're going to do a lot better things for the kingdom of God than, you know, making people feel worse about themselves.
I'd like to send a prayer out to God to have Lucy stop pulling that football away just before I kick it.
There's a lot of those moments, isn't there? Those
oh, there
like,
is.
This is the time. I'm going to kick that ball to the moon. And like, damn, I get screwed again.
Yep. That's my moniker. I'm the Charlie Brown of Bigfoot research.
That's awesome, dude.
I even kind of look like him, too, a little bit, they say. So, but yeah, it's kind of cool that you did that. There's, as I said earlier, there's so much of that that seems to be missing these days. And so many people that are down. I'm guilty of it myself. You know, there are so many days when you just feel like it's just so overwhelming and there's so much to deal with. So many friends and family members are falling on hard times and dealing with a lot of pain and suffering. And we need to hear, I really think we need to hear daily how great life is and how positive things can be. And what you're doing and the message you're sending out there is just what people need to hear.
Thanks, man. I can't take credit for all of it. I feel very spiritually inspired, and I put out there what I'm, you know, kind of guided to do. And I just don't question it. I just kind of roll with it. And, it's interesting because it get a lot of hatred thrown your way for it and stuff. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to let that stop me. I'm just going to continue on with it because I feel that it's the right thing to do. So I'm very passionate about it and, on all fronts, you know, especially being in the paranormal, it's interesting to do these events and stuff, and you meet a lot of people, and you find some people that have, you know, regardless of what religion they want to be in, they have no faith, they have no belief, and I'm like, so what do you think it is you're talking to and you're looking for when you do these investigations, you know, and you get some interesting answers, but I think that as more people do paranormal investigation, that they might come into contact with things that will make them think a little more deeply about how they live this life and what comes after this life, so I think there's some great opportunity there. it's kind of like a weird little niche ministry, I think, kind of being in the paranormal like I am. But there's a lot of stuff out there to try to tell people about and help them on their path.
I think it's a great thing. I really do. I think, you know, taking what you've learned and what you've experienced and helping people to become positive and stay positive and realize that there's so much more out there worth living for and a lot, you know, a lot better things to come. I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think a lot more people need to follow in your footsteps. I really do.
I really appreciate that, bro.
Hey, we got about 10 minutes left in the show, I should say. And before we let you go for the night, tell us about where you're going to be appearing at. I know you've got a lot of events coming up. You just added a new one that we'd like to hear all about. And tell us your future plans.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, I got a lot of stuff going on. As you said, the next one that we have coming up is going to be down in Gettysburg, just April 10th, I think, is the first day. It's a Thursday. I get in there on Friday, which is the 11th. But that should be a really, really good time. I really enjoy coming down to Gettysburg and stuff. And, you know, I think I did it about 2 years ago, or maybe, no, it was 1 year ago. And, it was just really cool. It was my first time down to Gettysburg. So, that's going to be pretty awesome. And then, I've got events that are coming up in Michigan. I'm going to be, is it Manistee, I think? Sometimes I can't remember the names of the towns and things like that, but I'm going to be out there with John Zaffis, and we're going to be doing. They have two big boats that are out there at the SS City of Milwaukee, and the USCGC. I want to say Asia. I can't remember how I pronounce it, but anyway, I'm going to be out there with John Zaffis, and that's going to be July 26th. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be pretty awesome. So definitely people want to come out and check that out. And then August 16th, August is really busy for me. I'm going to be over in Missouri, in Springfield, Missouri, again working with John Zaffis and Jenny Stewart from The Haunted. And we'll be doing a castle out there in Missouri, so that should be pretty sweet. Those events are all up at idealeventmanage.com. Idealeventmanage.com is where you can get information for those. Like I said, if you follow me on Twitter, then you get all that stuff out there all the time. Then I'm going to be doing the newest one is a motivational lecture that's coming up in Pittsburgh on Saturday, August 30th. And that's going to be this lecture I just put together called Get Off the Couch. And it's just about people kind of getting out there and living their life and stuff, you know, blaming this person and that person for why we aren't doing what we want to do and being the people we want to be. So I'm really looking forward to that. And that one's, you can get tickets for that at happynonsense.eventbrite.com. And that's going to be really sweet. Like I said, that's August 30th, and that's going to be in Pittsburgh. And then I think the end of the year is going to be pretty cool, too. I've already got bookings coming in for September and for November. I'm going to be down in San Antonio, Texas, down in September. So I'll be doing one down there as well. So, yeah, lots going on, man, and very thankful for it. Like I said, just really cool to be able to go out and meet all these people and do all this cool stuff.
Sounds exciting, and it sounds like a very busy schedule.
Yeah, it's nuts, man. My website's going to be updated again soon, but it's either ParanormalRockstar.com has all my paranormal stuff, and then DustinPerry.com has all of my motivational things. And then just the best way to get in touch with me is follow me on Twitter at DustinPerry.
Excellent. Amy, do you have anything for Dustin?
No, I just see that he changed his picture for DustinPerry.com. Because your picture used to, I was like, whoa, what kind of motivational speaking is this?
It wasn't my fault. It's the way they used the camera that made it look like I had a shirt on and no pants, but I swear to you, there were pants.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we had to crop that a little bit. Whatever motivates the masses, dear.
Stalker. Stalker.
I'm not a stalker.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I got to say, Dustin, it was a real pleasure talking with you again. It was a pleasure meeting you in Gettysburg last year. Didn't have a chance to really talk much, but we did get to work together for a little while doing one of the ghost hunts together. That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That was the General Lee headquarters.
Yeah. Yeah. You were across the street, and I was on the other side, and we kind of led a ghost group together, and that was a lot of fun, man. I enjoyed your company and enjoyed spending the evening out there hunting ghosts.
Well, thanks, man. Likewise, and I'll be looking forward to seeing you again very soon down there.
Yeah, we're going to be there April 10th through the 13th. You can go to phenomicon.com. Your cue, Amy. Thank you. So check out that website. And check out Dustin's websites, dustinperry.com or paranormalrockstar.com. Check out for his appearances for motivational speaking, his paranormal lectures. Find out where he's going to be at, what he's got going on. Dustin, it's been a real pleasure, my friend, talking with you. We want to thank you so much for coming on the show and spending some time with us. And we'd love to have you back.
Well, thank you, man. Anytime. It'd be my pleasure. You guys are the best. I hope you have a wonderful evening. I'll talk to you all soon. And thanks to everybody who listened in tonight and for Jeremy for calling in, for everybody's messages in the chat room. Much love.
Thank you, Dustin.
Thanks for putting up with me again, Dustin. Have a good night.
Oh, no worries. Yeah.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, from Ghost Hunters International, Ghost Hunters Destination Truth. He is a paranormal lecturer. He's a motivational speaker, all-around great guy. Thank you for the recommendation, Amy. We appreciate it. That was Dustin Perry joining us on tonight's show. A lot of fun to talk to Dustin, and you're right. He is a very down-to-earth person.
I'm glad that you had him on. I'm glad everybody enjoyed it. And thanks for all the great questions to everybody in the chat room, too.
And you did a great job, Amy. I got to tell you, filling as a co-host tonight. Unfortunately, Sean kind of dropped off the air. He's under the weather, and his coughing was getting in the way of him asking any questions. So you did a great job filling in.
Oh, thank you.
And I don't think we'll have you back on until we have Dustin on again, right? You won't come back on?
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah. You're not going to let me do that at the Phenomicon thing all the time?
We'll give you a call.
Yeah,
you'll call me, right?
Next week on the show, we've got another great guest joining us, and it's going to be an interesting conversation with this guy. I've looked forward very much to talking to Steve Jones for quite some time. He is an investigator and a member of Team Spectre in Ohio, but more importantly, he's worked with one of my idols in the Bigfoot research community, Robert W. Morgan, and he spent over 30 years working with Robert and in television and on radio, and he's done a lot of extensive work as far as promoting the outdoors and fishing and hunting and just being outside. And I'm really looking forward to talking with Steve. He and I have had the chance to talk before, and he's going to be joining us next week on the show.
Well, that'll be quite interesting. It'll be a little different than what we've talked about the last couple of weeks. And, the weather's starting to break, hopefully. So we'll get out there and start hunting for Bigfoot and all the cryptids that roam our woods.
Yeah, I have some investigations scheduled. I'll be heading down to Adams County, as a matter of fact, this coming Saturday to become more familiar with some of the trails around the area and the Mishaw State Forest down there. And I got to go over my Bigfoot reports because I will be giving a guided tour on March the 13th during Phenomicon. That's Sunday 10 to 12. I'll be taking people out into the woods to do a tour or a Bigfoot hunt, if you want to call it, showing them the area and telling them stories and tales and encounters that people have had with Bigfoot in the Mishaw State Forest. And if you want to purchase tickets to join me in the forest April 13th, not March 13th, April 13th, you can go to phenomicon.com. Again, that's Phenomicon, Amy. Thank you. Phenomicon.com and check it out. And there's a lot of great people that are going to be there. Dustin Perry, who was our guest tonight, will be on the guest lineup speaking there. The Reverend Tim Shaw, our good buddy Tim, is going to be there. Lon, you said you might drop by for the afternoon on Saturday?
Yep, I might be around.
Excellent. Amy, I know you say you're going to make plans to stop out there for Phenomicon?
Of course.
Okay, so you can come out and meet Amy and listen to her giggling.
What day are you going out?
Oh, come on, Lon. Are you going to try to avoid me?
What day are you going out, Eric?
I'm heading out actually Wednesday the 9th, and I'm going to be out there Wednesday through Sunday.
Okay. And when you're taking your tour out there?
That'll be Sunday, April 13th from 10.
That's a Sunday. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
10 a.m. to noon. And not to worry for those folks who are worrying it's going to be a strenuous or stressful hike, pretty rugged terrain. It's not. It's a very easy hike, and I'll take people on the trail and show them, tell them stories and show them what to look for as far as sign of Bigfoot in the forest.
And I will tell you, that area has had some very interesting sightings over the last few years. many of which I've gotten myself. So, yeah, there's a lot out there. You may be able to find some evidence. You never know, but it's been a hot spot.
And maybe, just maybe, if we're lucky, we can lure Amy into the woods with us.
Let me just tell all you ladies, wear the right shoes.
No
just
high heels.
Don't wear your best boots trying to be cute. Just dress right.
There you go. Well, guys, we've got about 5 minutes left in the program. So next week's guest is Steve Jones. And I heard that, Amy, by the way. And since we have a few minutes left, just a quick rundown of some guests coming up on the show. Next week, of course, Steve Jones joins us. We'll be talking with him about ghost hunting and Bigfoot research, his work with Robert W. Morgan. March 30th, we're going to be talking with Robert Sullivan. He is going to be talking with us about the occult and Freemasonry. He's written a book called The Royal Ark of Enoch, The Impact of Masonic Ritual Philosophy and Symbolism. And that's going to be a very fascinating show.
Yeah, that's a subject I've got a bit of interest in, so that ought to be quite informative.
Yeah, it really should be. I'm looking forward to having him on and talking about the Freemasons and if they played a role in the occult.
Yeah, I mean, symbolism, you know, it's one of those things that is starting to get a lot more attention now. And, you know, there have been a lot of books written about it, a lot of novels with the intent in there. And so, yeah, that should be a good show.
Definitely. And I want to throw this out real quick that the next event that I will be at, I'll be attending, is called The Unexplained. It's a lecture series given by the Southeastern Ohio Society for Bigfoot Investigations, or SOSBI. I got it right this time. There will be lecturers speaking about Bigfoot, UFOs, the paranormal, dogmen, and cryptids. It is taking place March 29th. Write that down on your calendar, Amy. March 29th at 10 to 6. And it'll take place at the Crossroads Branch Library Auditorium. It is open and free to the public to attend. SOSBI will welcome in paranormal, UFO, Bigfoot investigation groups for the one-day event, including vendor tables. There'll be guest speakers that I mentioned. Linda Godfrey, very famous Linda Godfrey, author and paranormal investigator of the Dogman phenomenon in Wisconsin. She'll be joining us and speaking at that event. They'll have lunch, 50-50 drawings, and a whole lot more fun. To find out more information, you can email one of the organizers of the Unexplained event by contacting Doug Waller at southeasternohiobigfoot@gmail.com. Again, southeasternohiobigfoot.com. And it should be a fun event. Looking forward to it. But that's about all I have for you guys. You guys have anything else you want to add before we call it a night?
Nope. Just tell everybody have a good week, and we'll see you next weekend.
Anything else from you, Amy?
Just real quick, anybody has any paranormal stories that they're interested in having researched or looked into, shoot them over to me at Facebook, and I'll see what I can do with them.
Very good. And you want to give out your Facebook page?
AmyPerryLane@Facebook.com.
There you go. All right, folks, we're out the door. Next week, Steve Jones is our guest. Thanks for tuning in tonight. To listen to our archives, as I said, make sure you check out our website, beyondtheedgeradio.com. Email us at beyondtheedgeradio@gmail.com. Before we go, I got to send a quick shout-out to my nephew, Joshua, who tuned into the show tonight. He said, please, Uncle Eric, make sure you send a shout-out. So there's a shout-out to you, Josh. Hope you enjoyed the show. We're out here, folks. Stick around for Revenant Reality. There we go. Revenant Reality, which is up next here on the Para-X Radio Network. You guys have a wonderful night. We'll catch you next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern start time, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Join us for another live edition of Beyond the Edge Radio, Sunday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network. Archive shows are available on Podomatic, Parapods, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the Para-X Radio Network, or our official website, beyondtheedgeradio.com. To contact Eric, Juan, or Sean, email us at beyondtheedgeradio@gmail.com.
Beyond the Edge Radio is a Beyond the Edge entertainment production heard here on the Para-X Radio Network.